Hi, I'm Ian Paul Cashaday. You may remember me from Highlander Endgame, Cracker Bob. No? I know you remember Sean Connery. Clearly my performance was not that memorable. Anyway, I'm here with Kevin and Lee on the Blood of Kings podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network. Stay tuned.
Welcome, Highlander fans, to another awesome episode of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. On the show, we cover everything from the Highlander universe, including those movies, and of course, the TV series, guests as well, novels, audiobooks, comics, special events, and Lee?
Merchandising, where the real money from the movie is made.
That's a thing now. I love that. We are talking about new Highlander merchandise that is coming. In the last episode of Blood of Kings, we talked about we got our toes wet, Lee, talking about the 1990s catalogs. We called it part one because we're going to be coming back to that. And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. And just this great little snippet of time, just as a nerd, being able to see that sort of stuff. Because now you have eBay. Now you have specialty stores. You used to have to work hard to be a nerd. And this was true. Like the beginning of like, oh, it's getting a little easier out there for a nerd.
This is very, very true. Yes. Well, like I said, the last episode, we talked about these wonderful catalogs that I got from Blood of Kings friend, Ryan Jost. He sent me a bunch of these. I've been scanning them and I released the first set on Blood of Kings, a Highlander fandom Facebook group. Just check under pictures or you'll see the post there. And you can, as you're listening to these podcasts, you can, especially that last one, the 90s catalog part one, you can follow along by going and checking out the actual pictures that we were looking at while we were talking about it. But first of all, Lee, welcome. You're my co-host here at Blood of Kings. We're getting into some new merchandise that's been out there or that is coming out.
Well, that's good because I had too much money to spend already, and now I'll be out of that.
Well, just like the 90s, the Highlander merch is going to take it all from you. Going to take it
pretty
all from
much,
you.
Yeah. Well, it did it in the 2000s and the 2010s too. I'll be honest.
Well, my co-host Lee Fillingsness is here. We're ready to talk some Highlander merchandise. But first, before we get going forward, just want to let people know that you can reach us a couple of ways. But we did want to just mention something real quick. We're recording this in the fall of here of 2020, of course, the year of the pandemic. After this episode that you're listening to right now, we're going to take a little break for a few weeks for the holidays. And then as we come around to the first of the year, we're going to be jumping into some new episodes of Blood of Kings. And unless something comes up that is definitely newsworthy that we should jump into, that's Highlandery, we, of course, will do a podcast about it. But in the meantime, make sure you check out the Blood of Kings Highlander fandom Facebook group, and we'll get you in there. We just eclipsed 2,000 members. Also, too, the Blood of Kings Highlander podcast is on the Fandom Podcast Network umbrella. We have many other awesome podcasts covering many other fandoms and pop culture. So if you want to find us, search Fandom Podcast Network on all of your major podcast catchers. And also, we are on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is on YouTube. We have a channel there. Please head on over there. Please subscribe. And all audio podcasts will also be on that channel. And we'll also be working in the future doing some live stuff regarding Highlander as well. So make sure you pay attention to the Highlander stuff going on Blood of Kings at the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, our master feed for all of our audio podcasts is fpnet.podbean.com. Please check out all of your major podcast providers. That is where you can find the audio podcast there. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at Blood of Kings Pod. As I mentioned, the Highlander fandom group on Facebook. We also have the Blood of Kings Highlander CCG collectible and card game and gaming discussion group page for those Highlander gamers that still are around and doing a great job keeping that game alive. You can email us at bloodofkingspodcast@gmail.com. My name is is Kevin. I am on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. Lee, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Way of the Way.
The Way of the Way. There are two ways you can support us. First of all, on your leave us a rated review on your, basically your Apple Podcast and iTunes or any of your podcast providers. There's a way to leave a review. Just search Fandom Podcast Network and do it under that there. And then if you like what you're listening to here on Blood of Kings, give us a shout out there. And we would love a rated review. That gives us a little more visibility and lets people know where they can find us there. Also, and we'll be mentioning this again, we have a TeePublic store for all of our Fandom Podcast Network shows. We've got some great logos, but we have Blood of Kings goodies there. You can get the Blood of Kings logo and, of course, the shirt that Lee is wearing right now. Again, is his Team Iron Pipe t-shirt. Yes, we are big fans of Iron Pipes because they help us immortals out. They get disarmed. You can get that logo on many different apparel, t-shirts, of course, hoodies, tanks, and cups and other cool stuff. So that is another way you can support us. Just search Blood of Kings or Fandom Podcast Network on TeePublic, and we'll be coming back to that topic in a little bit. But let's get into some good stuff here. We are talking about Highlander new merchandise, actually. And this is very, very cool because one thing that we've kind of complained about recently, Lee, is not enough Highlander stuff. There's stuff out there and there's stuff coming. But when it comes to like really cool stuff, like the marquee stuff, there has been kind of a dry spell.
Yeah. And I mean, we can all go to, Men's Warehouse and grab another trench coat. That's about where it is. And I will say that most of the season 1 through 4 swords are available online, and you can get some of the 5 and 6 stuff, but it's other than a couple places, it's never really official stuff. And I mean, we're nerds. We don't want just something that looks like it. We want something with the logo. We want the cool packaging. We want to be able to drag all the other nerds into our nerd den and show them something that they don't have yet.
This is very true. Good point, by the way. Thank you for mentioning that. But one thing I want to throw out there right at the top is, as of this recording in the fall of 2020, there is a brand new book about the original Highlander movie by our friend Jonathan Melville, who we've had on the show many times. It has just been released in October of 2020 through Polaris Publishing out of Scotland. And he is from Scotland, Mr. Jonathan Melville. And he decided to do a book about the making of the original Highlander called A Kind of Magic, Making of the Original Highlander. And Jonathan interviewed over 60 people behind the camera and in front of the camera, did his due diligence, and took several years to put this together. And we've had him on talking about it. Make sure you check out our previous episodes with him about his experiences doing this. I've actually had the honor of meeting Jonathan in Edinburgh, Scotland. I interviewed him once there about as he was working on it. And we recently had him back on talking about the finished product. And it will be hitting Amazon and American stores online in November of 2020.
Yep. And speaking of somebody that got to read it 3 times, just in preparation for the episode, it's very good, especially for those of us. Well, anybody listening to this podcast other than my aunt is probably a really big Highlander fan. My aunt is a really big Lee fan. And hi, Tasia. Love you.
Hi, Tasia. Thank you for listening. Appreciate that. Thank you.
She's now a big Kevin fan as well.
Yes. And leave us a review. That'd be great. But I want to give Jonathan some extra love here. This is a wonderful book, and I don't know if they're still available, but if you order them through Polaris Publishing, you can also check out the poster that was put out there as well. Did you end up getting the poster of the cover of the book that was signed by both Jonathan and the artist? Did you order one of those?
I just ordered last week, so that should be coming, but nice. Yeah. Had to get a couple bills paid first.
Understood. Reality. Adulting sucks, but got to do it.
It does.
Regarding the Highlander game, there was a new game that came out about a year or two ago by B&B Games called Highlander the Dual Card Game. Studio Canal, designed by Chris Castaneto, an old friend of mine, actually, from the gaming days. I've actually played games with Chris, and he worked for this game company. We had him on, Norm and I had him on about a year or so ago talking about this. This is another product that is out. I think it's still available. You can definitely probably find it on YouTube. There are some other cool things like a playing mat and the cards and these cool little figurines of Connor and the Kurgan, and it was packaged very, very well. And I just haven't had a chance to play it yet because no one plays it around me. But anyway, and then I had to move out west.
I do have something that I would like you to kind of expand on, because sure. I know you've talked about it on some of the other podcasts, specifically the What a Piece of Junk guys. But when you talk about your gaming days, you're not talking about like me and my buddy sitting around Perkins. You were the guy for a while when you were working for the why don't you tell everybody who
it was it was a hobby. Collectible card games really hit the scene with Magic the Gathering, which is still one of the games that still exists, and it exists for a reason because it's done really well and it evolves. It came out in the early 90s. In the mid 90s, everyone and their mother that could produce a game was making collectible card games. These are cards that you could collect as well as play, and you bought sleeves to protect your cards and build your decks and customize them, and then you could collect them as well. And I started playing these Star Trek and Star Wars card games in the mid to late 90s, and I got really good at playing these. And eventually I got hired by the company, and this is like a Santa Barbara boy, still living in Santa Barbara, California at the time in the mid to late 90s. I got hired by the company that was out in Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia, called Decipher Games. And they had done like the How to Host Your Murder Mystery Party. Remember those?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Company that did those. And they were getting in the card game industry, and their Star Wars and Star Trek card games were very popular. Decipher became the second biggest game company behind Wizards of the Coast that was making Magic the Gathering. And I went to a championship in 96 for Star Wars. There was 40 of us that were flown out to Vail, Colorado for the first world championship in 96. I came in fourth overall after winning a regional in Las Vegas. Dude. And then I was one of their top volunteers before they hired me, and they liked what I was doing. And so I got hired and came out there in 1999 of January to help promote their version of Star Wars Episode One card game. I was kind of like their traveling salesman. And then eventually I became their volunteer coordinator. And then I became their convention coordinator because I was traveling all over the place to promoting these games. And I'd always come back to California and play with my buddies and give out free swag. But it gave me a chance to travel, go to Germany, go to the UK, go all over Canada. It was great. It was a fun job. Eventually card games kind of started to die down. And, eventually I left the company in 2005? I think it was. There was a bunch of layoffs basically. And, stuff was happening. So, eventually I got out of the card gaming industry, but the best part about that industry was the relationships and friends that I made during that. A lot of the volunteers that worked tireless for us, and we would help them out with maybe some stipends for hotel or travel, and we'd give them a bunch of free swag. And a lot of those people I had stayed in contact when I did some recent travel with, and I got to hang out with these people, and Facebook allowed us to reconnect. So yeah, that's why Norm and I are very reminiscent and love the Highlander collectible card game. That was a game I got into a little bit later after it was kind of canceled, but there was so much product out there.
Yeah.
And is one of the great things about Highlander, because a lot of Highlander fans collected it but didn't play it because it had all these cool images from the TV series and from the movie and stuff like that. So one of the many things of Highlander product that came out, that and some of those items were available through the Highlander store. So there you go.
So when Kevin talks about cards, he's definitely, that's, you know, I'd say even more authority than when I talk about travel or martial arts. I mean, he was the guy, and he's still being humble. He was there when several background characters from Star Wars were named. Like, he was there when they named Wilro Hood, the ice cream maker guy.
Yeah.
I think Momon Adon came out of there, Hammerhead.
Yeah, there was the company had there was a lot of background characters that didn't have official names, and Decipher, the company I worked for, was given the right to come up with names. The names had to be approved when they were submitted, but they got very clever. They would take people that worked there and like use anagrams of their names to make sure just as long as they made them sound Star Warsy. And I had a character in a background character in Jabba's palace that I was named after by using my first and last name in an anagram. And there are several people that worked there that did that. So we have a small part of Star Wars history. And Wilro Hood was one of those that was named by Decipher. And then it caught on and now is a thing among Star Wars fans, and was recently mentioned in the Star Wars Mandalorian behind the scenes Disney Plus episode. I think it was episode 8 of the behind the scenes show that they do there. So, yeah.
And I was trying to see you because they did the Wilro Hood run, and I know you've done that a couple times. I was trying to see if I could spot you in there, but
the one that they showed was the recent one in Chicago of 2019, which I did not participate in, but I have participated in several of those, and it's always a highlight at the Star Wars celebration. So, big nerds here, yes. But one of the things we did want to mention was we always talk about TeePublic, you know, because we have a partnership with them for our Fandom Podcast Network and Blood of Kings. And if you search for Fandom Podcast Network and Blood of Kings, you will find our logos there on TeePublic. And when you purchase those, we get a little kickback. So that's one way you can support us. But if you love Blood of Kings and you love the logos that we have out there, make sure you check that out because there is some cool stuff up there. But if you don't want Blood of Kings stuff, there is still a lot of Highlander stuff on TeePublic. I'm doing a search here, Lee. I don't know if you can see the notes here, but some of the first stuff that comes up, and one of my favorites, is the Ramirez Red Ale t-shirt. Those are very cool.
Oh, God, yeah, that is so, yeah.
There's the Highlander, and there's some great mashups, the Highlander slash Hamilton t-shirt, which I like.
Okay, I gotta switch over to that page.
Yeah, it's on the first link that I provided there. When you go to TeePublic and you just search Highlander, you'll...
Oh, there we go, yeah.
Yeah, right now, let me tell you something real quick, people. When you're listening to this, the normal price for these t-shirts are about $20. But they have sales all the time. I recommend that you get on the TeePublic mailing list or let them text you, because then you'll get like the $14 t-shirt sales or the 30 to 35% off your entire order stuff. And that's when you want to jump on these things. I have this cool tapestry behind me that says Blood of Kings on it. You can get one of those in different sizes. But there's like the McLeod Scottish Ale t-shirt, the Highlander There Can Be Only One t-shirt, which has the Kurgan sword like pointed down, and it says... There Can Be Only One. That's kind of a new one. I haven't seen that one before.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that one yet either. I do really like the one a couple next to it, the Russell Nash Antiques.
Yes, yeah.
I feel like I can wear that, and if somebody gets it, we can go drinking, but I don't, you know. Yeah. I'm still, even though we're living in, you know, the post Big Bang Theory and Chuck world, I'm still worried about being called out as a geek and, you know, kind of bounced off of a wall or something. So I don't always put my geek front and center. So I like it when it's something subtle like this.
I love subtle nerd stuff because when someone gets it, you kind of have that like, we're on the same plane here. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one I like too, is I Survived the Gathering of New York City in 1985. That one's pretty cool. There's really cool one here that says Brothers McLeod t-shirt with a bright purple background that shows Connor and Duncan in iconic Highlander poses with, there's like a big quickening, lightning behind them. That one's actually pretty cool.
The one next to it though, that where they took the old, Revenge of the Jedi poster and, Highlandered it, that one, if you can hear this clicking noise, that's me buying it right now. I just bought that shirt in 3X.
That one actually is in my in my TeePublic shopping cart for the next time. I'm waiting for a sale because I love Return of the Jedi, and I love that the fact that the Kurgan is taking kind of like the Darth Vader-y side profile part of that. That is just so cool. There's some great, great Highlander mashup stuff in here. There's a Silver Cup Studios t-shirt. I mean, there is so many. If you just search Highlander on TeePublic, make sure you check it out. And what the cool thing about this is that the artists, you're supporting the artists that make these, so that when you click and buy one of these, they get a little kickback that helps support them and their art. So you're supporting artists on here. And that's why we love our relationship with TeePublic, because they came to us and they saw the shows that we were doing, saying, hey, we like what you're doing. Do you want to sell t-shirts of your shows? And we're like, well, yeah. And it was really nice that they jumped forward, and we've had a relationship with them for several years now. And we're very proud of that. And we want to support TeePublic there. You can go to other t-shirt places and do search for Highlander. They have them as well. But yeah, we like TeePublic, Lee.
Yeah, and I'll also say the Rewatch guys, you know, I've been nerding out on them for a while too. They've got a really nice set of refrigerator magnets, I believe, on TeePublic.
Yes, definitely.
I got those a few years back. Really cool designs. Yes. Honestly, I think Eamon was the one that designed them.
Eamon, yeah, one of the hosts of that show. He is a great artist, and I've met those guys in person. They're great guys. I met him at the Highlander 2017 convention, and Eamon is a wonderful artist, and he did all of those, and he does the art for their t-shirts and their logos and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they are great guys. It's too bad we have to kill them, because there can be only one Highlander cast.
Yes, this is true. I'm gonna let him hang out for a little bit longer, because I like
him.
Yeah,
I think
kind of like the relationship that Duncan and Mythos have. You know, one day, you know, one of them's got to go, but they're going to hang out for a while, you know.
Maybe we find them and we hang out, have a little boom boom. I'm sure those guys are not afraid of a little boom boom.
Yes. Well said. Speaking of Boom Boom, and I'll get to that in a little bit, but there was some recent post on Blood of Kings and our buddy Grant Kempster's Highlander Heart. I think Priscilla Manriquez was the first to post it. I want to give her credit on Blood of Kings. Is Incendium, a company that makes some very cool collectible stuff. Make sure you check them out. But they have some Highlander figures that are coming out that are ready for pre-order. They also have a Facebook group called Incendium Online. That's Incendium Online. And they have two figures that are available right now. What I really like about these figures is they kind of remind me of those retro figures of a lot of – we were talking offline earlier, Lee. What was the name of that company that makes those cool retro figures?
Reaction Figures.
Reaction. They have like Back to the Future and Thundercats and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and all these other great retro-looking action figures that have the original like 5 points of articulation with these great backgrounds. I know you've seen a bunch that you like,
yeah.
Right?
And they do them in the 80s style. Yes. So they look like toys instead of something that I have to keep in a case.
Yes.
And so it's really fun walking up to, you know, to see those. I think the first ones I saw were Big Trouble in Little China and Pulp Fiction. And I got the Vince and Jules, and then I got the Jack Burton. And for a nerd, it is so hard to open a package, but I had to play with them, and I'm happy that I did, because they are just – it's fun.
The Alien from the Alien one, because I love the Alien on those things, and they're very cool. But these are reminiscent of that, but this is by the company Incendium, and they have Highlander Kurgan Fig Biz action figure, and I believe these are the larger size. These have a little bit more articulation. What does it say here? It says, yes, they have the five-inch action figure. This is the Highlander Kurgan one I'm talking about. There can be only one. Help Connor harness the power of the Quickening, battling the Kurgan, and avenge Ramirez and Heather. Fig Biz, officially licensed action figures, are the perfect addition to any collection inspired by the ultimate era of Saturday morning cartoons. And they have 12 points of articulation on this Kurgan figure. Battle helmet, broadsword, and a Fizz Biz clear base. So the company that makes them is Fizz Biz, but they're selling them on Incendium. I want to clarify that. And they are $29.95 each, ages 15 and up. These are very, very cool figures, Ali. I wanted to get your take on these, but the reason why I'm glad that you brought up the Boom Boom is because if you look at the top left-hand corner of the packaging of both the Connor and the Kurgan, you see two other immortals up there. You see Ramirez and you see Castigear. So I'm wondering if these do well, they might release those. What's your take on these?
I'm really hoping so. I think that would be really cool. Because of all the stuff that I have, I don't have in any form an action figure of Sean Connery. And I mean, he's one of the oldest action stars, but I just don't have anything like that. And honestly, my favorite action role that he was in is Highlander. But getting casting gear, I think, because I mean, when we were talking with Jonathan, we talked a little bit, and it's gone over in the book about how much more of a role casting gear had in the original cut of the film, and then in the original scripts,
and played by actor Hugh Quarshie.
Yep. And by the way, read his book. Read about him. Just hanging out on Jonathan Melville's book, hanging out on set with Whoopi Goldberg and Oprah Winfrey and Steven Spielberg watching Live Aid. I mean, this is a dude that we should all know about, and we don't, unfortunately, but I think it was really cool. I would love to see that character. And I also, when he's talking about the top left-hand corner of this, they've just got this perfect retro thing because it looks like the old X-Men logo that you would have at the top of every comic book.
Yes.
It's taken me back.
Yeah. Hugh Quarshie, by the way, a lot of Star Wars fans know him as Captain Panaka from Episode 1, but he's been in a lot of cool TV productions. So these figures are $29.95 for 5-inch action figures, where the normal 3 3/4 inches. So these are a little bit larger, but I like these. And I love the articulation in these and the look of them. But this is what I love about these figures. Just to clarify, this is the Highlander and dual version of Connor and the Kurgan, because the Kurgan's obviously bald. He's got the one sleeve ripped off, you know. And what's cool about these, Lee, is that normally when we get like Connor action figures, we'll get the trench coat looking one, maybe, if we're lucky, or we'll get like the traditional Scottish one. What I like about this one is I'm wearing the brown leather jacket, crappy tennis shoes and denim jeans look, and I love it.
Yeah, and it's again, the artwork on both of these for the characters on the cards, you can tell who it's supposed to be, but it also just has that perfect 80s comic book look to it. And one thing I just noticed scrolling back and forth, if you were to put these two figures together, the look on the Kurgan's face and the look on Connor's face, the Kurgan just ripped one. Connor just realized that he did. And the look on Kurgan's face is like, yeah, I did that.
As you were saying that, I was scrolling over the picture, and you're right. It's very, very funny. I'm actually really excited. I want to get these if I can, and I hope to, but if you go to this Incendium page, it's also cool because they have some other Highlander stuff here. There can be only one regular edition silk screen art print by artist Dan Mumford. And there's also a variant print too, as well, a variant editions, silk screen art print of the final duel between Connor and Kurgan under the Silver Cup logo. And it is absolutely gorgeous at $66 a piece.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful shot. It reminds me actually of the, mini posters that they've been handing out for the sequel trilogy in Star Wars. I think he might be even the same artist.
You know what? That is where I have seen it before. Well done. Yeah. Yeah. Also, if you keep scrolling down, there's some other cool t-shirts on this Incendium page as well, where you can see a hoodie that says Highlander across it with the classic Highlander movie logo, and another one that has Highlander and then the final duel between Connor and Kurgan clashing swords. The t-shirt runs for $29.95. The hoodie is $74.95. There's a great Kurgan helm t-shirt where it's his cool helm, the helmet with his sword coming down. There's another one that says there can be only one with the Connor Claymore. And another of the classic kind of, I guess, the drawn retro version of what these figures are on a t-shirt as well. There's also the classic Connor in his Scottish uniform. So there's some really cool stuff here, Lee, regarding the t-shirts.
Yeah, and just really good design. It's catching what Highlander is, but also what the nostalgia of the era was. I mean, this is starting to look, as Marvel started to get serious kind of towards the mid-80s or mid to late 80s, Kind of moving away from the overly fantastic and kind of moving towards what would become Infinity War, which I think was 91, if I'm remembering. Mm-hmm. So you've sort of got like this evolution of the drawing style, and they just kind of capture that moment of illustration really well, and just very cool designs. I mean, these guys really did it right.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And then if you go to this webpage for Incendium, and you just do a search for Highlander, and this stuff will come up. It's real cool. And there's some other, if you go to the next page, there's some lapel pins. Based on the movie Highlander comes these collectible trading pin range featuring your favorite characters. These metal pins include backings for security and comes packaged on a graphic card back. Each pin measures approximately 1 to 2 inches tall. Note, this item is for pre-order, will arrive at a later date, ages 15 and up. That's weird that they say that. And these are $13.33 each, or four interest-free payments of $3.33 through a third party called Sezzle. S-E-Z-Z-L-E.
Well, if I buy them all at once, do I get the Highlander cap like we did with Season 1's VHS?
I know, right? But check out these pins, though, because one says Highlander Incendium in it, and then there's like three images on the pin. There's the Kurgan cowl slash helmet, a Highlander claymore, and then there's a book that says the metallurgical history of ancient sword making
by Brenda J. Wyatt.
Yes, I thought that is so cool. Then there's one of the Kurgan of just from his chest up. He looks like he's smiling in this one.
And he let another one rip.
Yeah, he let another one rip. And then there's his sword, of course. And there's another one of Connor smelling something in his sword.
Like, dude, again?
Yes, definitely. But I thought these were really, really cool, man. I love that this was something new. But you have something with you right now that I want to talk about. And I wanted to mention real quick, I've never gotten my hands on these, on those cool 12-inch figure dolls of the Kurgan Connor. Then there was like the Kurgan Connor 2-pack. And then there was the Adrian Paul with the different versions of his current one and the one from the 1400s or 1500s or whatever it was. And I think in Connor, there was two different versions of that as well. But you have a couple of cool different figurines.
Yeah, I've got the Nika set that came out, I want to say 2005 or 2006. And they are very well sculpted. These are, I would call them sculptures more than action figures. They really are meant to be in one
position. Because there's no articulation in them, right?
I mean, there is, but everything looks awkward because it's meant to be posed exactly like that.
That's good. That's the one of Connor. Yeah, that's a nice one. That is from his Scottish days, of course.
And very well-detailed kilt there. He's got the cloak. I mean, it's really
he looks a little more cut than he does in the live-action film.
Yeah. I'm going to hold this up close. The detail on his sword is fantastic.
Yeah.
You can see the
McLeod logo. Is he going regimental in that kilt or not?
Well, let's see. Oh, my. No.
Sorry, I had to ask.
And then you've also got the Kurgan, which is really a very nice piece.
That thing's gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah, and it shows that the armor is kind of hodgepodge, right, which I think is a great way to tell the story of a character. Because if it was all the same, like one leg is different from the other, you've got kind of these pauldrons that match the helmet, but everything else is a little bit odd. And Mike Kurgan's having a weird hair day, so he doesn't quite have the fantastic. He kind of looks like Patti LaBelle right now.
Nice. Well, what's cool about these particular ones that you're holding up is that they're going to be in the cover art of this podcast. So if you're curious what these look like, just look at the cover art and you'll see it because Lee's holding them up. But those are really cool. Did you order those online? How did you find those out of curiosity?
Well, in the long, long ago, I went to this wonderful store called Suncoast. Were on sale for $25, and now they sell for about $250 to $300. I did take them out of the package because I wanted to use them for a specific purpose. My co-host Kevin here, I've got several IKEA towers full of DVDs, and I like to let people know where certain collections are. So Star Wars, I've got Vader and Luke. For Highlander, I've got Connor and Kurgan here. And for, you know, I mean, I've got Johnny Depp as, you know, the Captain Jack Sparrow. But I did take him out of the package, which is a weird thing for me. But I like looking up on the shelf and seeing them.
Yeah, no, I do that too. That's why you always buy one, you buy two, you know, one to keep in the package. One
yep. I wish there had been two for me to buy, but by my choice.
There's a few things I have where I only had one. I'm like, that's going to look cooler. I don't care. I'm going to take it out of the package. So I want to ask you specifically, I want you to take a few minutes to talk about swords. There's so many Highlander swords out there. And I know I'm going to be acquiring one from you soon personally. And you're actually trying to get rid of some stuff as well. But talk about the Highlander swords that you've acquired over time.
Oh, God, I've got a lot of them. And some of them I actually had to chase down because they were out of production for a while. The majority of the stuff that you see in season 2 and season 3 and 4 has been available for a while through Mardo of Spain. Mm-hmm. And they've been making these swords since the 80s. And they're based on historical pieces that you can find in museums. So the Carlos V, which was used by a lot of different immortal baddies. I think most famously, Xavier and Kyler both had one.
Okay.
That one's been available through them. You can get, obviously the El Cid Tizona, which, you know, you see, I think five times or five different bad guys in season 2. But if you go on Mardo, you're going to find, Mythos's sword. You'll find a lot of stuff. But once bronze started taking over more and more, you'd see stuff from other makers. And I have actually been able to find the sword that Duncan used in Homeland, which is a big claymore made by Cass Iberia. And I found Devereaux's sword, which is hardest one to find because that was also by Cass Iberia, but they stopped making that in like 96. The foundry burned down in Dalian, China. So they just stopped making that sword. So finding it was a complete stroke of luck. If you go on to museumreplicas.com, you can actually get the Duende rapier. The dagger is harder to find. That's been out of production, but I just picked up one of those. It's pretty cool. You know, and then, of course, our good buddy Daryl Kyle over at Texas Steel Props and Replicas, if you want to get the Highlander Katana or Tachi or the broadswords, go through him. You're going to get a very good product. I've got Connor and Duncan. I've actually got I'm making a special order to get a Kurgan sword because they don't have a good one made. The production one that you can get from Mardo or United Cutlery sucks. But I'm going to do that. And I'm also taking the blade off of one of my old swords and I'm going to have it put onto a McLeod Claymore. And one I've always wanted because Daryl is the only one that makes one that looks like the movie. The one that's available commercially is ugly. It looks like your cousin drew it from the movie and decided to put it into production.
Daryl Kyle is a wonderful artist, and I met him at that Highlander convention, and he's a great guy. Eventually, I want to get him on Blood of Kings, and we can chat with him about stuff. I think that would be a fun show.
Absolutely.
But he's the fact that you have endorsed him because of how picky you are about swords and your knowledge, that is a wonderful endorsement. Daryl Kyle, that's awesome, man.
Well, I'm happy to tell everybody, I've actually worked with antique swords. And when I got my first, I got the season 1 Highlander Tachi, which is the one that he uses before they kind of switched to the Mardo version. And I picked it up, and in my hands, it felt the way that an antique feels. It doesn't feel like a modern reproduction. It just feels like something with history. It feels like something that's been there. I don't know how he did that so well, but he is a craftsman. And I will endorse his products to anybody. I will also say that I'm going to thank him for saving me a lot of money because I want to say back in 2017, I was going to meet him in Lakeland, Florida, to look over some stuff and buy a few things. And he let me know about a couple things that were a little bit strange going on with the promoter. And I'm like, huh, that's a little bit weird. And then I spoke with a few other people, you know, who were going there that may have been on the show, that may have done a few things, and some of their weird special guests.
Yes.
And they started telling me stories, and I'm like, maybe I'm not going to go to this.
Yeah, you know, it was not a great event. Let's just say that. But I will say one thing, the one good thing that did come from that 2015 Lakeland event was I got to share it with my fiance, Aaron, before we became engaged, and also met some wonderful people in the Highlander fandom, especially a lot of good friends and stuff. But yeah, definitely. That's funny. Yeah.
By the way, I just found out she's in one of my favorite guilty pleasure movies, the National Lampoon's Tropic Resort, or what is it? I love that movie. It's so wonderfully stupid. So,
oh, the one that my fiance is in. Yeah.
Yeah. So when she said that, I'm like, no way. That is awesome.
Someone may have a video copy of that on the counter behind me. But anyway, back to Highlander. So one thing I did want to mention was Kareem Dismaki, who works for Davis Panzer, teased a really cool large bust of the Kurgan that they're working on selling right now. And they're working with the people that are making it and finalizing it. That is another cool thing that is going to be coming out. I think the price point was around, I want to say somewhere between $500 to $700, I think, because of how big that it is and how much detail and how heavy it's going to be. It's going to be like a really elite type of Highlander collectible with the Kurgan. And the early design of this thing just looks gorgeous. You remember seeing this, right?
Yeah, I do. And I think that's kind of a cool thing to put out there. I think what they need to do, if they do it, though, they need to have just like little bits of guts sticking out of the neck. Like, it should just be the head and like have like, you know, the vertebrae sticking out like he just got his head cut off.
Yeah, but yeah, I see. I think this was supposed to be like the version of him in the Highlands, like with the battle with the clouds, yeah, and the Frasers. That before he got that little love nick, as we call it.
Oh, you mean this version?
Yes, the one that you have. Yes, definitely. That's the Necco one. Is that what that one is?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, cool. Well, like I said, there is Highlander merch out there, and we're going to talk a little bit about what may come and what we want to talk about, but first. We're going to have you listen to our fantastic network promo for the Fandom Podcast Network. I'll take a quick break and let you know what other great podcasts are here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to the Fandom Podcast Network and all of the other awesome shows we have to offer. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture news podcast. Blood of Kings, our Highlander podcast. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite pop culture topics. End Zone, the NFL podcast. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville podcast. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. Lethal Mullet, a 1980s and 90s action film podcast. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast. And our newest show, Making Treks, a new Star Trek podcast with a deep dive into the final frontier with host Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. Fandom Podcast Network is also on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Facebook under Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom. All right, welcome back to Blood of Kings. Lee, what are we talking about again? I forgot.
Merchandising.
I love that. Yes, we are talking about Highlander merchandise. And on our previous episode, we talked about We dove a little bit into the shallow end of the pool for the 1990s catalogs. Ryan Jost, awesome friend there on Blood of Kings, sent me a bunch of great old catalogs, and I've been scanning them. And I released the first set of them of one of the earlier stuff that came out. And those are on Blood of Kings, a Highlander fandom group Facebook page. Just check under images. And actually, you can look under albums there. And I actually have an album started with the Highlander catalog merchandise. So make sure you check that out and follow along with that podcast. You can see those pictures yourself. And I will be releasing more because we will be covering merchandise from those catalogs again on a future episode. And I'm going to try and get Ryan on as well to discuss his history and how what it was like getting these cool mailings and ordering all this fun stuff from back then. But right now we've been talking about the newer stuff that's out there. We've been complaining for a while there hasn't been enough of it, but it's starting to reach out there. I think, Lee, that there is a nostalgia that is gaining in momentum for Highlander. I'd like to say that, you know, podcasts, you know, like Highlander Rewatch, you kind of started it really. And yeah, ourselves here at Blood of Kings may have lend to some of that nostalgia. But I think the mass fandom out there that maybe doesn't even know about us are learning about how cool this is. And we're seeing a lot more of it with these t-shirts.
Yeah. And I think it's just cool to bring something back like this. It very much is a slice in time. And I mean, especially with the entire series, including The Raven, going on to Amazon now. And I mean, what more perfect time to get into a series like that than now? Because you can just, I mean, we're all sheltering in place. We're all sitting at home watching streaming. So I think it's really cool to have something for new fans to kind of identify with. Because even at conventions, which you and I have been going to for years, that was the one thing that was always missing. You could always find a dragon sword, but you really couldn't find Highlander merch.
True. Yeah.
So I'm glad they're
doing
that.
Or you would find those really crappy, like, versions of Connor or Duncan's, you know, dragon whatever handle. And they're just really bad. And if you swung them once, they would fall apart, you know, and stuff. Yeah.
I was actually on a movie set. Somebody wanted to use one of those one time. I'm like, this is going to break. And they're like, no, it's pretty sturdy. I grabbed the handle and kind of did a reverse grip, and I hit the top of it, and the handle broke off, and like the blade started shaking. And I'm like, I'm not going to let anybody use this in a fight. And the guy looks at me like, why did you break my sword? And I'm like, it was going to break and it was going to kill somebody. I saved you a whole bunch of money.
Yeah. You just saved a big step there in a lawsuit. So that was good.
Yeah.
But
I'll get
so
you the 40 bucks back.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, Lee, I want to ask, first of all, what kind of Highlander merchandise would you like to see come out now? Now that we're kind of getting, you know, this stuff that Incendium is selling for these figures, and what is it? The Fig Biz action figure. What else would you like to see? Either if it's not from them, but like from the Highlander universe in general, what would you like to see?
The one thing that they've been holding back from us forever, Jillian Horvath has the pattern for Duncan's coat. And they've never released that. And when they've done Highlander long coats.
Be specific which one you're talking about.
It's actually, they used it for several different coats and several different colors. But anytime he's wearing like a light cloth coat that goes very long, it was that same pattern that they used from season one onward. Every so often,
I see what you're saying. The pattern itself, because he had like a brown one. This isn't like your typical trench coat. He just wore these long, trenchy length type coats for a while, but it wasn't necessarily a trench coat. And you're talking about the pattern that they used for whenever they wanted a different version of this in the television series.
Yeah, and they had a white one, they had a black one, they had the brown one, like you mentioned. I think there was kind of like a teal or something, but like it's the one that goes almost all the way to his ankles and kind of looks like a sail when the wind catches it. Because, I mean, there's others, you know, he's wearing like 3/4 length leather coats and all sorts of other stuff, but that's the one thing that I've always wanted. And they even in... the first Highlander, the series book to come out about making the series, I'm forgetting the name of it, but it's just got that awesome shot of Duncan in his Highland garb, right, kind of charging the camera. They actually talk about that pattern and how they kind of kept it safe. And that would have been something really good to release. And I think they sort of did it with the 20th anniversary swords. But if they actually set up a good deal with Mardo and Windless Steelcrafts, because I know both companies are hurting a little bit right now, and actually license those swords with a Highlander name to it. And not just like the big swords like we've already had, but like the Carlos V, the Richie sword. That was never the Duende sword. Neither one of those were ever released as that. I'm talking Richie's second sword that he got from Graham Ash. They were just available and you can get them. But if they actually went and did it, because, I mean, people are still buying Lord of the Rings swords. You know, years later, if you go on Budkay, if you go on Museum Replicas Limited, you can still get those. But I think getting actually, you know, stamped and recognized Highlander swords from Mardo, from Windless Steelcrafts, and from Cass Iberia, who is now Hanway, I think that would be a really cool thing.
That's excellent. I love that idea. Speaking of jackets, I've mentioned it so many times on this podcast, and I kind of joked about it at first because I thought it was ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And now I really want it. Now I've fallen in love with it. And that's Richie's green jacket.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be really fun if it was somehow reissued, or I'm at the point to where I knew they were sold somewhere. I know other people probably had them that weren't specifically made for Highlander, but there's just something iconic about that. Now that, that we've lost Stan, I would love to, get my hands on that, or at least have it custom made.
I've got something very similar to his season 4, episode 1 jacket. It was kind of the long, kind of a nubuck suede.
Yes, that was
3/4 length. I've got one like that.
Yeah. I would love it if they were to somehow go back and pay tribute to the television series and all of the Highlander films in these kind of retro style action figures, because mm-hmm. these are the type of action figures, yes, you can take out of the boxes, but you want to keep them in the card backs, because the card backs are kind of collectible themselves. But I would love it if they would go back and, you know, I would love an Amanda figure. I would love a Mythos figure.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the iconic Xavier St. Cloud, Roger Daltrey one, too. I mean, that would be so cool to go back and pick a few of those and get versions of those. Even if they were done in kind of like, because you can get around the licensing, image licensing, of using an artist rendition instead mm-hmm. of going and trying to do an exact likeness of certain things. Because I know that that was one of the problems that the original card game had, of not releasing a version of Ramirez, because at the time, I don't know, it had something to do with the rights, and Sean Connery wasn't signing off on anything. At least that's what I heard. But if you could get like an artist rendition that was done and call it these characters, that would be kind of fun, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. And you could do sort of like, I think the genius of the marketing that George Lucas had was all the different costume changes that so many characters had, except for Han Solo. He had like 3.
Yeah.
But, having these costume changes so you'd have different versions, and it would be a bit more valid in the Highlander verse, because, I mean, you do have, you know, in some plays, characters millennia worth of costumes that they can wear.
You know, even like I would love to have like a set of like several of them in a box or something with a cool display or something like that. I'd love to see a little more official, like maybe hats. I'm a big fan of course, baseball caps. I like to see some new versions of that. Of course, I don't want to say if, but I think when the new Highlander reboot eventually comes out with Chad Stahelski behind it, my fingers are still crossed. That's still going on. He's still interested. We'll see. I would love for them to market the crap out of that. Not like Star Wars Episode 1 style.
Yeah.
But I would love for them
where you can lick Jar Jar's tongue as a lollipop. Like, you remember that one? That was the dumbest thing ever.
I bought it. Yeah. I do remember that well.
But did you used to like it?
I don't want to say. but I do want to see something like that out when the movie comes out. You know, I like to see some posters. I would love to see stuff that we can celebrate the release eventually of a new Highlander. That would be really cool. So Lee, as we wrap this up here, I just want to get your final thoughts on these merchandise episodes specifically. And we want to remind people that as of this recording of the fall of 2020, we're going to take a little break during the holidays, but we will return after the holidays fresh with some new stuff happening in 2021. Of course, if something else comes up that we feel like we need to get out there, we will. Of course, we'll be active on Blood of Kings as well. We won't forget about you guys there, but we want to take a little podcasting break. But diving into the merchandise of the catalogs last episode, Lee, and a lot of this, there's a lot of new stuff that's out right now. Give me your final thoughts on those.
I hope that whatever they do merchandising wise, they handle it better than they did in the 90s.
Yeah.
Because
specifically, was there something that could have been?
Yeah.
Better?
Well, I kind of joked about it, in the last episode. There's only a couple things in the catalog, clothing wise, that Duncan would have worn.
True.
You know, so if there was actual like Duncan Couture or Connor Couture, or, you know, definitely Amanda and, Tessa Couture that you could have bought back then. Because a lot of us were going out and trying to find it and failing miserably because we were dorks in the 90s. But but also that they didn't have a market the relationship that they had with Mardo of Spain. Because right. They were in the credits of every episode, season 1 through 4.
Yeah.
But they never really marketed the swords properly, either as Highlander through Mardo, or they didn't sell the Mardo products in the Highlander catalog. I mean, they sold the Sword of the Dragon, but I mean, there was over 20 swords from Mardo that were used throughout the series and they never got brought in.
I see what your point is. Yeah, but I think that that's kind of a given nowadays because of collectors wanting some information on what they're buying. And
yeah,
the limited amount, like if it's there's a limited amount, how many, you know, all that type of stuff. But I think that would be done definitely. And but it's going to be fun diving back again into these 90s catalogs because there's just so much stuff that I did not get in Highlander when this stuff was happening. I've said again and again, and for the new listeners out there, I didn't get into Highlander until right after it ended when it started hitting on DVD because, as I said so many times, the television series was shown at weird times sporadically here in Southern California, not as well as it was around other parts of the world and other parts of the states. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to get into this show, but I'm going to wait for it to come out on video. And that's what it did. It started hitting the DVDs and I started spending the $100-$150 on the DVDs. And while I was working for that game company, when I was traveling in hotels, I would have my little miniature DVD player and I would watch those episodes. That's how I caught up on Highlander and on Stargate SG-1. It was great. I hope that that we get some more cool new stuff. But like I said, when it comes to apparel, you're pretty much covered. You know, like I said, go to tpublic.com, search Highlander, and please support us. Search Blood of Kings. There's a lot to choose from there. And I know there's a lot of stuff that we haven't mentioned on these shows. And if there's stuff that we've forgotten, please let us know on Blood of Kings. Show us pictures of your collection there on Blood of Kings. We will share them on a future podcast or just you know, look at it in awe and drool. Is there something out there that's kind of a white whale for you, Lee, that you would love to own?
I have,
is out there and that does exist.
Grayson's sword.
Wow.
Yeah. That's another
that
one of
weird
those
little squiggly one. Yeah.
Yep. That was another one made by Cass Iberia. I almost had one a couple weeks ago and the listing disappeared.
Wow.
So I'm still looking for that one. It's not even a good sword.
Daryl Kyle, come on, yeah. Step up. Make one for Lee.
I'm already spending enough money with him. I don't know if I can afford more.
Well, with Kyle, you get what you pay for. Just keep True. That in mind. If you want good quality, you're going to pay for it, and it's worth it because it's custom made from a great guy.
And that's the last thing. If they do make swords for the new movie or series, get Daryl to do it. You're going to have a good product.
Yep.
And they're going to be beautifully sculpted.
Good point. My white whale now, I mean, I've gotten some cool stuff with signatures and the one that I have hanging on the wall, which is a combination of a great gift from Norm at that 2017 LA convention, is a signed picture of the three main characters from the Methuselah's Gift episode with Duncan and, of course, Mythos and Amanda. And I got them all signed that picture. But then I also got the Highlander script that had everyone that worked on it and acted on it signed. And I finally got Jim Burns to sign that too.
Dude.
And so I got that whole thing signed and framed, and that's one of my, that's my favorite Highlander collectible. But there is one out there that I want, actually, excuse me, there's two. The first one is the season two of the Big Finish audio of the audiobooks, the actual CDs. I have digital versions of the audios, but of the Four Horsemen, and they got all of the actors back to do that season two of the Four Horsemen. I would love that original collection because they didn't produce as many in the second season, and that is one of my white whales. The other one is that two-pack of this 12-inch figures of Connor and Duncan together in from the original Highlander. Even some of those figures, the 12-inch figures, I don't have any of those. And those have been hard to find, or if I see them, they're just way out of my price range. But those are the two on my white whale, so there we go. Yeah. Well, Lee, this has been a lot of fun, man, talking about just what again? I'm sorry?
Merchandising!
And I tell you right now, I'm sure Davis Panzer made a buttload of money during the 90s off Highlander fans when I see all that stuff that came out there. So, yeah. But more power to you. That's what part of releasing movies and TV series is, making money off merchandise. And there you go. So anyway, thank you guys so much for joining us here talking about Highlander merchandise on these last two episodes of 2020. Hope you guys enjoyed them. We're going to take a little holiday break, be back at the very beginning of 2021. My name is Kevin, and on behalf of Lee, thanks everyone for listening and joining us again next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network for another episode of Bloody Kings Highlander Podcast. That sensation you are feeling is your wallet, Lee. It is saying, ouch. Ouch. Although some people have more disposable income nowadays and want to order from those catalogs. We are one. We are immortal. Goodbye, everyone.